Hallelujah. Because of the greatness of God, you are loved with great love. And because of the greatness of God, you have been delivered with great power, saith the Lord. Because of the greatness of God, you are kept and sealed. Yea, because God is great, you are safe from harm, safe from evil. Because your God is great, you have nothing to fear. Because your God is great, you can stand and not fall. Because your God is great, because your God is gracious, because your God is good, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah! 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 You know, we say that simple little prayer, God is great, God is good. And we don't understand what greatness of God and the goodness of God really means. Amen. But to the nation of Israel, the prophet Nahum probably said it in the best synopsis there is for it. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, Nahum meaning comforter. And with all of the judgments that were being brought, he was still comforting them because he knew if they returned to God, God would return to them. Can you say amen? So he said, the Lord is good. Isn't that a profound thing to say? Amen. The Lord is good. You know what? All the time. Hallelujah. I like that. Amen. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the time of trouble. Amen. Because of what? Because the Lord is good. And because he's good, he knows them. Literally in the Greek, in the Hebrew, it's cherishes them. Amen. That are his. We belong to him. His eye is on the sparrow. The songwriter said, I know he's watching me. He cherishes us. Can you say amen? Because he is good. And David said, if I didn't know that fundamental truth about God that's not nearly profound enough for many people to grasp, he said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. He said, the Lord's my shepherd. Guess what? He's a good shepherd. Amen. Because he's my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is great. God is good. And because he's good, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, and he never changes from that goodness. He doesn't vary from it. Can you say amen? In whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Amen. Hallelujah. God is great. God is good. And as David said all the time too, praise God. Hallelujah. He's even able to make everything, because he's good, he's able to make everything work together for good to them that are the loving and are the called according to his purpose. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise tonight. It's all because God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd faint unless I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Not in the sweet by and by, but the nasty here and now. Amen. God is still good. Amen. You know what Fanny Crosby said, who knew so much about the goodness of God, wrote hundreds of wonderful Christian anthems of praise unto him, blind all of her life. How many got two good eyes tonight? Well, how many got two pretty good eyes tonight? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we got something to shout about. Fanny Crosby lived her life blind to the beauty of this planet, to the beauty of the newborn baby, to the beauty of the world. Yes, hallelujah, praise God. You know what she said? She said, and listen, we all know this, you can dwell on it if you choose to, there is much suffering in this world, and there is much overcoming of it. Can you say amen? And her life was an example of the overcoming of it. Amen. Why? Because she knew God is good. And he's good all the time. And he's good if you've got two good eyes. And he's good if you're blind. Praise God. God is good. Amen. So David said, this may be part of the sermon, I don't know, but David said this. Oh, taste the Lord. See, you've got to perceive him for yourself. And see what? That he's good. Can you say amen? that he's good. Praise God. That he's good. The Lord is good. And his... Oh, how do you win battles over the enemy? In the day of trouble, don't forget that I'm good, saith God. Don't forget, don't just remember I am great, but remember that I am good. Don't just remember that I have power, all power in heaven and earth, but know that I will release that power to provide and protect and deliver you, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody give him praise in here again tonight. Glory to God. The Lord is good. We count on him not changing. Therefore, he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. In the Hebrew, that means far above harm, way beyond the reach of evil. Can you say amen? All because God is good. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. The world would like you to think God caused these problems. God is the reason for the terrible tragedies in the earth. No, God is good. Amen. God is good. Sin brought the trouble. Satan is the destroyer. But God is good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? Looking at him after the flesh like they looked at other rabbis. Amen. He said, there's only one good. That's my Father which is in heaven. But God is good. So every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. Amen. That goodness is still, that God is still good today. Amen. Truly the Lord is good to Israel, David said. Truly the Lord is good to Israel. Praise God. Can you say, has God been good to you? Have you tasted him enough, perceived him enough to know that God is good? Can you say, man? Because he's good, we can have faith in the time of trial and test and trouble. No matter what happens, God is good. There's much trouble in the world, Fanny Crosby said, and that's true. And there's much overcoming of it because God is good. Can you say amen? Truly, God is good to Israel. Psalm 73:1. Truly, God is good to Israel. But he said, my feet were well nigh slipped when I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. I thought we're under oppression. They're having all the good things in life. And I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. We got a whole gospel out there that envies the prosperity of the wicked. We want their riches. We want their fame. We want their glory. Amen. Jesus said the kingdom of this world, amen, is not what you should be after. You should be pursuing the kingdom of your God. This world is transient. It's passing. Can you say amen? How it's decadent because it is decaying. Can you say amen? The kingdom of man is shaking. That old iron and clay feet of that giant is beginning to shake and tremble as the day of the Lord approaches. Can you say amen? And everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken so that something unshakable and unmovable might remain. Can you say amen? The positive result of this great shaking of the last day is that there is a church that cannot be shaken. Can you say amen? Because we've received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, say that with me, nevertheless. See, no matter what is happening in our world and in the compromised church world, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Hallelujah. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that are his. Hallelujah. How do we know we're his? Because he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. We bear his mark. We bear his brand. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Until the day of redemption. Glory to God. And all because God is good. God is good. Truly, God is good to Israel. But my feet were well nigh slipped when I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. They are not in trouble as other men. One translation said, these fat cats have more than they could desire. Can you say amen? And therefore they're filled with pride and they're heady and high-minded. He said, until I went into the sanctuary. Amen. I was envious at them. Until I went into the sanctuary, then understood I their end. Can you say amen? And he began to cry again, the Lord is good to Israel, even to them that are of an upright heart. Can you say amen? God is great and God is good. Glory be to God. What a revelation we need of a God who is intrinsically good. There's no darkness in him at all. This goodness flows from his heart 24/7. Amen. That's why his mercy, you know why his mercies are new every morning? What gave Jeremiah hope, even though Israel hadn't listened to the message and judgments had come in the land? Amen. Their land had been taken. They went into captivity, but God is still good. And David said, Isaiah said, Jeremiah said, the weeping prophet, amen. He said, when I consider the wormwood, I consider the gall, my soul is crushed within me. But this I will recall to mind. This I'll bring back into my remembrance. Amen. Thy mercies are, why? Because God is good. Thy mercies are new every morning. Can you say amen? Therefore have I hope, because great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness to what? Faithfulness to his own character and nature of unchanging goodness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why mercy flows. That's why grace is given. Hallelujah. Simply because God is good, and children pray it as a children's prayer over food. God is great. God is good. And we pass the mashed potatoes and gravy and don't even stop to think about it. But God wants you to stop and think about it. He wants you to salah it. He wants you to focus on it tonight. You may be going through trouble, but God is good. And if God can't help you in trouble, God help you if you ever get in trouble. And if God's grace isn't sufficient, God help anybody else who gets in trouble. If there's anything that can happen to you that God can't help you overcome, then he's not God and you don't know him very well. Amen? Amen? Fanny Crosby had it right. I want you to hear it tonight. There's much suffering in this fallen world. Fallen world that sin has tainted causes death and destruction and suffering. There's no doubt there's great suffering, but there's great overcoming of it in Jesus Christ. And if he can't mend broken hearts and broken lives, he's not the God that we're telling people about. Amen. If he can't come into your life and anybody else's life, amen, I have sat with people who have lost everything precious in their life, but they didn't lose that focus on the goodness of God. And because they didn't, God took them through. Honey, this old world is not all there is. This is a very short trip. This is a very thin veil. This is a vapor that appeareth for a little while and passes away. Where we're headed is the forever place. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And God has grace for this journey, and he wants you to focus on his goodness tonight. If you don't do that, amen, you can't help anybody. You'll be no comfort to anybody. Amen. You will live as hopeless and helpless as the world who are without God and without what? Vital hope. Can you say amen? Vital hope. Vital hope. Listen, if anyone turns to God in trouble, God is going to be there for them if they know him. And if they don't know him, they can come to know him. That's the beauty of this gospel. Sometimes it takes trouble to get people to truly turn to God. But anyone that turns to God in trouble is going to find a good God waiting to receive them and to bless them and to help them. Can you say amen? The God I declare and the God I preach is adequate for any heartache or heartbreak that this old fallen world can bring mankind. If he's inadequate, he's not God. And you don't know him. You need to get to know him so you can be a true comforter to other people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm so proud to point people to a God who's big enough to deal with whatever touches our life. And a God who has grace because he's good to give to every one of us tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I know this God who is good, because I had fainted. I see people with crushed hearts. Broken. Completely by life's sorrows. I used to look at old people, and now I'm getting that way, and I look at me every day to see where the lines are coming. I want more smile lines. I don't mind lines, but I don't want them to be the frown lines of the furrowed brow. I want them to be the smile lines of someone who's found out and discovered, no matter what, God is good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And because of that, we can go through this fallen world with all of its untimely events and yet say God is good. Amen? Amen? Was Job's God still good? Go ask Job if God isn't good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's good. God was good to Israel even when he chastened them, saith the Spirit. Because of his love that he would not let them go. Because of his love, he moved to bring them back to himself that he might keep them safe once again in the covert of his wings and the shelter of his love. It's the goodness of God that calls men to repentance. It's the goodness of God that forgives them when they return. It's the goodness of God that stands over against all the evil in this fallen world and outshines the darkest night of trouble, saith the Spirit of God. I want us to pray tonight that we will get focused and be people who can help others focus on the goodness of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I want an expectation in my life that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord when this life is over. But until I get there, he promised to be with me here. That's a good God. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, this is one of those times when you need to start practicing, I will bless the Lord at all times. Because times are going to come to test you on that. It's easy standing on the mountaintop of victory to shout that and say, that's what I'm going to do, hallelujah. I'm going to be a consistent praiser no matter what. But when the troubles come, that's when you're going to be tested on that. Can you say amen? And you're either going to stand up and give him the praise, amen, or you're going to let the enemy encroach his way into your life. And if you let him in your life, you can't tell nobody anything they want to hear in this old fallen world, because they're without God and without hope, and we're supposed to be the bearers of hope into this world to comfort one another with the same comfort wherein we are comforted of God. And isn't it comforting to know, amen, that he's a good God tonight? Can you say amen? No matter what. David said all the time, amen. And he's not, listen, he's looking for a glad reunion day here tonight. Amen. The resurrection is going to mean more to David than it does most of you folk here. But if you've got a loved one on the other side, the resurrection doesn't just mean the holy city. Amen. It means getting back reunited with the people that you love down here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. This is the great promise and hope of the gospel. It makes the gospel more precious and more powerful tonight. Well, let's join hands and pray together that God will bless what's left of this service. Not much left to it, because we've been preaching for about 20 minutes now solid. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Let us get a glimpse of your goodness tonight. Let us see your sweet mercies. Let us begin to get an expectation that goodness and mercy is going to pursue us and follow us all the days of our life in spite of what those days bring. We'll give you the praise, honor, and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. It's all part of staying focused, which was our theme the last service. Remember the theme of staying focused? Anyone focused enough to remember the theme of staying focused? Hallelujah. Somebody said, yes, sir. Hallelujah. I like that. That sounded like my wife calling me sir. Amen. She hasn't called me Lord like Sarah did Abraham yet. But sir is the closest thing I think I'm going to get to that. And I appreciate it very, very much. Praise God. Hallelujah. I had fainted unless I believed, Psalm 27:13 says, to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. If I didn't have that expectation of seeing God's goodness in the land of the living. And the land of the living, by the way, is where all the trouble is. It's not this other place we're going. That's not where we need all of this grace and all of this hope and all of this expectancy. Where we're headed is, amen, not where the trouble is. It's here. When one great Christian was dying, someone came to him and he said to him, he used to sing all the time and his voice was gone and it was raspy and he could hardly speak. I think it was the same man that said to his friend, whose name happened to be Pons, I don't know who this man was, it's just a friend of this man that is pretty well known, whose name I can't remember because it was a long time ago. Amen. But he had lost his ability to sing and was losing quickly his ability to speak as his body was failing. And it was approaching a resurrection celebration morning, Easter morning, and the bells were beginning on that resurrection Sunday. Amen. The bells were beginning to ring and ring out in churches when they used to have those great bells that rang every Sunday morning. They were ringing especially for the call to come and worship on Easter morning, resurrection morning. And his friend, who knew that he was his body was failing, he couldn't even sing anymore and could barely speak, he said, "Isn't it terrible? Isn't it terrible to not be able to sing God's great praises, to not have a voice to sing on this great resurrection morning?" And he said, "Yes, it's awful not to be able to sing his praises, but it's even worse to have a voice and not have a heart to praise him." You see, the person who's really to be pitied is not the person whose body is passing away, but resurrection promises them new body and new life. It's the person that has a healthy body, has life in it, but doesn't have enough a heart for God to lift him up and bless him with their lips. He said, "It's not me that's to be pitied, but them." And then the guy further tried to comfort him. You know, sometimes we end up with Job's comforters, don't we? People get down and waller with us, and amen, instead of people that will lift us up. Well, you know what you need when you're in trouble? You need somebody with enough of God and enough of understanding of God's ways to say there's hope in him. I don't understand it either, but there's hope in him. And he can help you. There is sufficient grace. Amen. I'd like a little better amen to that. Amen. Next time God tells you my grace is sufficient, please don't argue with him. Amen. You're going to need that grace. Can you say amen? Don't tell him, "No, it isn't. No, there's nothing you can do." Oh, there's plenty God can do. The nothing that anybody can do is nothing you can do. But don't tell him there's not anything he can do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. God has a sufficient grace. And it has come upon people in situations that you can't imagine in your wildest imagination having the grace to go through. But God has come to them in that time of need if they look to him in simple faith. Because he's good, amen. Sister Dale. He's good. God is good. Can you say amen? And his goodness is better than any evil intent of the enemy. His goodness was seen in prison cells where people were waiting to die. And yet they sang his high praises because they knew God is good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I love that theme of God's goodness. It's so fundamental, and so many people clearly are missing it. How do you know they're missing it? Because they're fainting. They're being crushed by life. They're being crushed by what's happening in a fallen world. Hello? Hello? I had fainted unless what? I believe to see what? What is missing? What's the missing element that keeps us hopeful and therefore helpful to others? Listen, if you're not hopeful, you can't be helpful. I remember a man came in to hold a revival in Plant City, put up one of those big gospel tents, and he put it up in January, and it was cold that January. It was one of those Januaries that it froze the fruit trees. Amen. And so a guy met him out there that preached in the city, and he said, "I've come here because God sent me, and I hope to get the cooperation of churches. We're going to have a great revival." Amen. We invite everybody to come, and if any of the preachers want to preach, they can preach. But I'm going to preach one of the services, and we'll just see what God does in this city. But God sent me here to have a great revival. And here was the comforting words. "It is dead of winter for Floridians. When it gets below 40 in Florida, they don't budge. They don't go nowhere." Amen. You're in Florida now, son. When it gets cold in Florida, they're not coming out to your tent. But see, God began to move in the tent, and they did come out to the tent. And yes, your feet would freeze off in that old tent. They had an old Grove heater in that thing, David. One of them old Grove heaters. It was kind of like a modified mini jet engine that just blew hot air out the end of it to try to keep an orange grove. Only thing is, he blew it in one direction, blew so hard it blew the tent flap up and all the heat went right out of the tent. Amen. And if you got too close to it, it'd burn you up. If you sit behind it, you'd about freeze to death. Amen. But God was moving, and it was a lot colder in the church where God wasn't moving than in the tent where the temperature was so low. Can you say amen? It's so good to get somewhere where the frozen chosen decide to stay home. And the only people that show up is people so hungry for God, they won't even let 38 degree weather stop them from coming. We had a great time. But he was met with Job's comforter. You can't do anything for God here. It's too cold. You've come at the wrong time of the year. Amen. There's always those people that will get down in the pit with you instead of throwing you a rope. And they think they're comforting you by getting down in the pit with you. And if you're in a hole, you don't need somebody to climb down in there and get stuck with you down in that hole. How many know you need rescuing? You need somebody to throw you a rope. And somebody to say, there is lifting up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Need somebody that's been through something and found God to be good in spite of it all. God is good in spite of it. But you're not going to see his goodness except in the way he moves in the midst of all of the terrible heartache of a fallen world. This is a fallen world. This is a world under a curse. The Bible said the ground was cursed in Eden. Come on, this is not God's creation we're looking at right now in terms of the bad that's in this world. Amen? The world became cursed. The world, did you know you could pick a rose without it pricking your finger in God's world? Did you know there was no thorn? There was no briar? And ladies, listen up if you don't think God is good. When he had it his way before the curse came, there was no pain in childbearing. And you guys ought to listen up too. Because if you had to have the babies, that little scripture about happy is the man, children are the heirs of the Lord, happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. Honey, I'll tell you, you ladies are tough. All the ladies say, we tough. We bad. My wife said, we bad. Honey, have you ever seen a woman in labor? I don't know a man. Listen, we get a hangnail. We hit our finger with a hammer and tear half the, I started to say the toenail off, but half the fingernail off. Amen. You know what we do? We come and say, look what I just did. We don't just want a Band-Aid. We get the Band-Aid for ourselves. You know what we want? We want sympathy. We want you to say, oh, poor baby. Oh, that's awful. Oh, that's terrible. Let me get you a Band-Aid. We say, yeah, fix it up. Amen. But you know something? If we had to have children and go through hour after hour after hour after hour after hour and sometimes after hour, sometimes up to 12 hours of those waves of excruciating pain, amen. I just think that there wouldn't be too many children running around. I don't think we'd have a population problem at all. And I see my brother, isn't it the truth? I just don't like the thought of going through hour after hour after hour of that kind of agony. But God is good. And when God had his way, it wasn't that way. Amen. All of this trauma was not here. Amen. When God had his way. Before man chose another way. The curse did not come upon this world, only the blessing. And women were spared pain and childbearing. And nothing hurts in his holy mountain. When he begins to bring it back the way he wants it and the way he began it, amen, when that millennial reign of Christ comes, nothing's going to hurt and nothing's going to harm. The mighty lion is going to become a vegetarian. Because the lion and the lamb are going to do what? Lay together. A lamb is going to see a lion with a sweetest heart that makes a little innocent lamb want to nestle up to him and lay his head over and take a nap on that big soft pillow. And a child will play at the hole of an asp and not have to worry about that poisonous snake biting, because that snake, if it wraps around him, it'll be to give him a hug. As funny and as outrageous as it sounds. Against nature. See, nature's tainted with the curse. Amen. And when Jesus comes, that's going to change. He's going to reverse the curse. Amen. Somebody say he's going to reverse the curse. Halabakoshondarabalite. Yetarabaki solomorodobora. Yishalabaki salaba. His kingdom is where he reigns, praise God. Not the enemy, not the destroyer, not Apollyon, but Jesus. Hallelujah. It's where he reigns supreme. And in his kingdom, praise God, there is no curse. Praise God. Nothing will harm and nothing will hurt in his holy mountain. What a change is coming when Jesus comes again. Can you say amen? So God wants you to know that there is an evil one and there is a thief. And he's at work and he works steady at destruction. The only way he can harm God, the only way he can hurt God, the only way he can strike back at God for booting him and his minions out of heaven is to hurt the object of God's love. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Jesus said God's heart is so set on us and so set on all of his creation. But God even loves the birds that fly in the air, even if they're the little bitty ones, the valueless ones in the eyes of men. The Bible said when a sparrow falls, I don't know the lifespan of a sparrow, but when one of them falls to the ground and his lifespan is over and it's ended, the Father feels it in his heart. Jesus said, your Father feels that in his heart. One sparrow falling to the ground, Jesus said, not one of them falls to the ground without your Father taking note of that. He wasn't talking about the fact that God's omniscient. He knows everything and therefore he keeps a record and account and he knows every little thing that happens. No, amen. He went on to say, you're worth more than many sparrows. This is about love. This is about tenderness. This is about a God who is deeply touched by things that we wouldn't think nothing of hardly. I told it on the radio broadcast and I just feel it so strongly. I thought of that scripture about not a sparrow falling without the Father. Standing in the backyard and hearing a commotion as a group of full-grown mockingbirds was chasing a very young, underdeveloped blue jay that had just got his wings. And there's no way he could outrun them. They were chasing him, about three mockingbirds, but because birds are territorial. And he was a young blue jay that wandered away from, I guess, his nest and got over in the area of the mockingbirds. And they were chasing him above us in our backyard. I'm standing under this huge grandfather oak with these big limbs going out each way. And that little jay was just flying for everything he was worth. And the mockingbirds were squawking and gaining on him. And he looked back over his shoulder to see if he was getting any distance at all from them. And when he looked back, he struck one of those huge limbs. As fast as he could fly, he just hit it. And I heard the thump of that little bird. That little bird fell between my feet. Just fell at my feet. And oh, just that little innocent, helpless bird. I just reached down, I scooped him up, and I thought, maybe I can fix him. Maybe I can fix him. Maybe I can be his protector. Maybe I can fix this little bird here. But his neck, he broke his neck. But his neck was laid over like that. But he took two gasps. And I watched him. And even watching that little bird take those. I got a lump in my throat. And I thought, the God of the universe, the God who created the entire universe, David, felt even deeper than what I was feeling. Isn't that incredible that God has a heart that is that tender? Some of you folks that get irritated with the people that are bothering God, and you want to make God as irritated with them as you are with them, and you want to preach and proclaim that God, you better get in touch with this God. Because when you need mercy, you better hope the God that you preached in irritation and aggravation is not the God you have to deal with when you need mercy. Because if you don't cut them no slack, he's not going to cut you no slack. And let me tell you something. You're going to need some slack. Amen. Everybody in here, look at somebody and say, we all need some slack. Can you say amen? If God's rigid with you, you don't have a chance. Because you can't walk it perfectly day in and day out every day. How many have lived long enough in the Lord to figure out that you're going to need some grace? And you're going, it doesn't mean compromise, but you're going to need some grace and mercy. And whatever you become in God, it'll be because of the slack He cuts you. Can you say amen? Paul said, whatever I am by what? By the grace of God. What is grace for? People who can walk it out perfectly? No, people that God has picked up when they have fallen. Can you say amen? God is good. I'm telling you, this thing about God's goodness, it will bring a hope and an expectation to your life. No matter what is happening in this fallen world, God is good. And you know what He said to Israel, even when corrective judgments were in the land and it looked like God had abandoned them? He said, I know my thoughts toward you. They're thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you what? To give you an expected end. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you will look back to God and acknowledge that He's good, somehow, some way, God is going to bring you into victory. Hallelujah. And He'll give you, amen, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness and the oil of joy for mourning. And He'll literally turn your mourning to dancing. Somebody give God praise tonight. And if God can't do that, He's not good. But He is good and He can do that. He can do it for me and He can do it for you. And He's doing it for people all over the world right now. Hallelujah. Some of the martyrs kissed the kiss of forgiveness, the executioner, because God is good. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because God is good. And He's good all the time. I can't pronounce his name right. It's Italian. It's a great saint. Sarnola. See, I told you. S-A-R-N-O-L-A-V-A. Something like that. But anyway, every day for 5 days, they cut off one finger per day. And then they decided, let's do something more gruesome to him to get him to recant his personal faith in Jesus as his Savior instead of a church that had become hideously mean. And they would take him on a rope. They put it around his neck, but you see, it wasn't dropping to break the neck. They would hoist him up while he choked on the rope. They would hoist him up, you know, 10, 12 feet from the ground. But before he choked to death, they would turn the rope loose. And while he was semi-conscious and choking, when he hit the ground, he wouldn't even try to hit and roll or break a fall, David. His legs broke. His arms began to break. And they would pull him up. They would loosen the rope then, make sure he's good and conscious because they wanted him to feel the pain. And they would pull him up again. And they would drop him again and drop him again and drop him again. Let me tell you something. If that man had any doubt that God is good, he would have recanted. He would have shook his fist at heaven. The reason he didn't is because he knew something about God. He said, God is good anyhow. And He's good all the time. And all the time has to include this. And God gave him grace. I cannot, and you needn't, sit there and try. That's just one. Fox's Book of Martyrs has bunches of people just like that. They must have had grace, folks. God must have been able to do that. There must have been something sufficient. And us sitting on the outside of it, we can't grasp how He could. It's because we don't have it, because it's not us. It was them. But if you decide to stand for Jesus and find yourself in a situation like that, God promised grace sufficient. But you've got to look to Him for it and not accuse Him or doubt Him. Amen? Corrie ten Boom asked her grandfather about death. She said, I'm a Christian. I'm afraid of dying as a young girl. She said, Grandpa, How do I deal with this? He said, Corey, he said, when we want to go into town and we have to take the train, when do we get our ticket? It wasn't like now when you get them by computer and you get them sent to you and you make all the reservations. You go to the train station, you walk up to the ticket office the day you wanted to take a trip back then, and you get your ticket at the ticket office and you go get on the train. Amen. Plenty of room on the train. Amen. Don't have to get your tickets ahead of time. You get them the day you're going to take the trip. And he said, Corey, remember how we went to the ticket office and the ticket officer gave us the ticket? We got on the train, said, when that time comes, not now. You don't have the ticket now because you don't need the ticket now. Amen. Amen. Literally, the grace to die with. But when the time comes, Corey, then God will give you the ticket. Amen. Amen. I don't need God to multiply the fish and loaves for me right now. There's food in my cupboard. Amen. But a day may come that I may need God to work a miracle to fill it. And I'm glad I got a God that if that day should ever come, that I can count on Him. Amen. I believe He still does those things.
Amen.
But He does it when we need it. When the time comes, I want to challenge people to say tonight, the Lord is good. Even if you say it through tears, I want you to say the Lord is good tonight. You know why? Because He is good.
Amen.
And the heartache and the heartbreak. At work the other day, my foreman came to me and said, I wished I had you here last night because I needed you, because there was a guy in here saying, how can you believe in God? There is no God. If there was a God, why does He let this and let that and let this and let that? See, the whole worldview is that if there is such a thing as God, He certainly isn't a good God. Because if He was a good God, He would do something about all the children dying here and all the heartache. Honey, God is not the originator of us. You know what did that? The attitude in that man, amen, that is accusing him. The attitude of rebellion on this planet. How many know this is a rebel planet? Amen. If everybody on this planet bowed to God, we'd see the goodness everywhere. Amen. Did you know the murder would stop? Did you know the child abuse would stop? The hurting innocent would stop if man would just bow and confess He's God and I'm a sinner and my sin has brought the curse. And only my God can deliver me from it. When Israel came back to God, God came back to Israel. When God came back to Israel, the wonders came back to Israel. The miracles came back to Israel. The deliverance came back to Israel. The victory came back to Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Why He calls us back is that people, that the world may know there is a God in Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You will be crushed by life. You'll be as crushed as the people who don't know Him because you don't know Him well enough. And God wants you to know Him well enough to trust Him. The Lord is good. He's not good when good things happen. He's bad when bad things. He's good all the time. And when the trouble comes, His name is a strong tower. And that's where we all run. Can you say amen? That's where we run. That's where we run. That's where we run. Jesus on the cross tells us God is good. And He said, I know the thoughts, Israel. I know my heart. I don't care what people say or how it seems. I know my heart toward you. Thoughts of peace and good and not of evil. So that you can have what? A hope and expected end. Biblically, hope is the glad expectation of future good. Say it with me again tonight. The glad expectation of future good. See, just expecting good will make you glad. Say, well, how do I get the glad expectation of good? Start expecting good, and I guarantee you it'll make you glad. And you're supposed to serve the Lord with that attitude, day in and day out. Serve the Lord with gladness, all ye lands. Hallelujah. Amen. One thing God wants you, not just your duty, your dedication, He wants your happy heart involved in serving Him. He wants an expectant heart. Amen. Amen. Expectancy is hope. And the Bible said everything that was written, everything that I'm telling you tonight from Scripture was written aforetime for our comfort. So that through the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope, the glad expectation of future good. Amen. You can get as cynical and jaded as the world is. They're without God and without hope. David Wilkerson said, I was going through a problem one day. I sat up in my office. He's got 7,000 people attend that church, maybe more now, and he's preaching a very straightforward gospel without all the trappings to have those people in Times Square, New York. Ex-addicts and people that have been bound by the devil, they found freedom in Christ, don't need a lot of other stuff if you really appreciate Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen.
Amen.
And he said, but I was going through something. I've been through some things in my family. How many know there were some sicknesses and problems came to his family and his grandchildren? His wife had a battle with cancer, but they won. He had a child, a grandchild go through a physical problem. But God is God. God is good. But he said, this is what got me. He said, every day when I left my office, I passed a crack addict that literally panhandled on the street to get money to buy cocaine with. And he said, that day, I had just been somber and sorrowful and under it all day long. And I walked by this crack addict who was laughing and smiling and seemingly joyful. And I got a hold of myself. This preacher said, I shook myself. And say, right at this moment, even though it's going to be short-lived in that crack addict, and even though that person's bound by Satan and on his way to hell, but right now that person has more joy and peace than I have. They can smile and laugh, and I'm not. And he did what another David did that wrote so many of the Psalms. He said to himself, soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou. Come on, that's how vital hope is. Hope thou in the Lord. For he shall yet be the health of thy countenance. He'll cause you to smile again, even though you've been through it. Because somehow, God's going to bring good if you put your trust in him. Amen? You can become jaded. You can become cynical. You can become doubtful. You can become Job's comforters. Or you can stand out. Jeremiah said, when I consider the wormwood and the gall, my soul is crushed within me. This I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. To be what? Good. Amen. To be who he is. Faithfulness to his own character. Faithfulness to his own nature. When God takes control again of this planet, it's going to change, but God is not controlling this planet right now. There are very few people that are God-controlled right now in church. Thank you for the hearty amen. There are very few people that are God-controlled sitting in church. You know what spirit-filled means? It doesn't mean speaking in tongues, getting holy laughter, falling out, running the aisle, having a Jericho march, having gifts of the Spirit operate. Everywhere in your Bible, without exception, in the full Greek language, everywhere in your Bible where it says full of the Holy Ghost or filled with the Spirit or filled with the Holy Ghost, it never just means like a glass being filled up with water. That is not the meaning of it. It literally says in every instance, without exception, filled with and controlled by the Holy Ghost. There are people who will talk in tongues on Sunday and they'll rip you apart on Monday with the same tongue. They're not controlled by the Holy Ghost. Come on. It's not a glass filled with water. It's one person becoming subservient to another person's full influence. It requires a fruit called meekness that you never hear of. And yet it's one of the vital fruit of the Spirit. Amen? How can God control us if we're not meek? How can God control us if we're not subservient? Meekness is not weakness, it's power under control. Can you say amen? You know what God said about Moses? I'm going to try to close, but I just want you to acknowledge God is good. I want you to get meek again. I want you to get controlled by the Holy Spirit so God can lift you up. Amen. Get you programmed right. Get rid of stinking thinking, because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Can you say amen? Amen. Are you ready for this? Moses had a unique relationship with God. All of the other prophets God spoke to and even through, but he did it in a different way. Numbers chapter 12 said, now the man Moses, oh, let me before I tell you what that, let me tell you what was happening here. All the other prophets, he said, I'll speak to you in visions and dreams, and that ain't bad. That's pretty nice to lay down at night and let God give you a spiritual dream and then you see something clearly because of it. Or God give you a vision and it come to pass and you speak it come to pass. That is powerful stuff. The Holy Spirit does that in the New Testament. Can you say amen? That's not over. Amen. After the Spirit was poured out, your old men shall see, your young men shall see visions. Your young men will dream dreams, or vice versa. It's really interchangeable. But not so my servant Moses. Him will I speak to mouth to mouth. Everybody say the audible voice of God. He spoke audible to God. God spoke audible back to him. Not in a vision, a dream, a leading, but a vocal voice relationship. Why in the world? What in Moses qualified him for that kind of intimacy to be called to lead Israel? Listen, it said, now the man Moses, among all men of his generation, was most meek. Whoa, Lord have mercy. If you're going to be a leader now, they don't groom you in meekness. That is not the preparation to go into leadership anywhere in business or in the church world. Amen. The leader now is strident and strong and self-confident and self-sufficient and bless God, I've got it together, and if you just buy my tapes, you can have it together too. Hallelujah. That's not meekness. Meekness is when we bow and become subservient to a higher authority. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's move over to the New Testament. Every one of you that labor and are heavy laden, come to me, Jesus said. Amen. You that labor and are heavy laden, do what? Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in spirit. And what happens when you and God get in that kind of synchronization where you come into the right relationship where he is Lord and you are subservient, amen, and there's no argument with that? What happens when the Lord really becomes your shepherd and you will find rest for your soul? Your troubled mind will know peace like the world cannot give. Somebody give God glory tonight. God is good. And you won't doubt it, hallelujah, when you start bowing to him completely and believing him wholeheartedly, trusting him with everything. His grace is sufficient, but you don't get the ticket until you have to have it. Amen? I cannot imagine some things that people have faced as Christians. I don't need to imagine. But if I had to face it, my God is good, and his grace would be there for me. I'd faint unless I believed that. And you will too. Amen? Everybody say it again, God is good. And his mercy abides forever. That's why Job would not deny it. Job said, I don't know why this is happening. I questioned him too. I questioned him. And God finally said to Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? We want to criticize Job because of his lack of faith. Honey, I don't know many people can go through what he went through and still say God is good. But he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. He's still good. You didn't hear me tonight. Bless it. I still got praise for him. Oh, church, you're not hearing me tonight. Amen. They can criticize Job all they want to. Push come to shove. He said, I serve a good God. I don't understand this. Don't get me wrong. I got big questions. Lucy used to tell Desi, you got some, or Desi used to tell Lucy, you got some explaining to do. Can you say, man? Well, God, when we get there, he's not going to have to explain everything. When we get in his presence, there's going to be no doubt of his goodness. We're going to see him as he is because we're going to be like him. And you say, man. We're on this side of the veil. We're dealing in time. He's dealing in eternity. We that are locked in time will never understand or appreciate eternal things until we get on His level one of these days. I used to tell my people at work that would ask me questions back when my wife did needlepoint. It would drive me nuts. I'd get tired and throw it across the room. It's too tedious for me, and I'm too clumsy for it. But it was relaxing for my wife to pick out a pattern and start doing a needlepoint. I would come home from somewhere and see this hoop laying on the couch, upside down maybe, where she had just laid it down to take it up later, and all the multicolored threads are dangling. And I'm looking at that, and there's no reason, there's no rhyme, there's nothing that says there's any kind of pattern. There's just a whole bunch of chaotic colors meaning nothing. But do you know what? If I flip it over on the other side, then I can see a beautiful pattern being immersed. And every one of those dangling colors, amen, are being utilized to make a beautiful pattern. On God's side of things, something good is taking place. A pattern is being woven. Can you say amen? Glory to God. On our side, what do we see? We look at those dangling strings. Say, dear Lord God in heaven, what are you possibly up to? Sometimes I'm right here, David, after all of these years. I thought I was going to be in a pulpit until I died. Not in a plant and a pulpit. Amen. But I'm in a plant and a pulpit. And you know something? God has given me grace to be at a plant and a pulpit. It was tough after 25 years of full-time ministry to go back up. My first night stacking ice cream, and it come down a conveyor in these sleeves, and you've got eight of them in a sleeve. 8 half gallons means 4 gallons of ice cream, frozen solid, and it's coming down this conveyor. And I was praying in tongues that God would give me the grace to stack that. I went to work at 50. Amen. 50, David. That was my youthful years, I consider it 50. I went to work at 50. Some of you young fellows here tonight in your 30s and 40s, and you're starting to get aches and pains, hang on, brother. Just hang on. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you. Can you say amen? I'm telling you right now. It's coming. It's coming, buddy. Amen. But I started grabbing that stuff, and I started throwing that ice cream and praying, God help me, and God did help me. But when I got home, amen, it's like just like preaching. It lifted off of me. When I got home, I laid down in the middle of the floor. I looked like Jesus on the cross. I just laid my hands out. I just laid there, and And the thought of getting up tomorrow and going back and doing it again. I'm 50 years old. For the last 25 years, I lifted a few weights here and there, but nothing prepared me for standing at that conveyor all night long and keeping up with that conveyor. You stop. You don't stop to blow your nose. If you do, ice cream's going to go on the floor. You just wipe your nose and keep on stacking. Can you say amen and keep on praying? But God began to build me up, and God began to help me, and God began to give me grace sufficient to where I was able to stack ice cream all week, come down here and preach and do whatever I needed to do. And God began to do that in my life. And I found out without Him, I couldn't do both things. But His grace is sufficient. Do you understand what I'm telling you tonight? His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. And His strength is perfected when we feel so weak, we don't know how we're going to make it. He said, I'm ready to come through right here, right now in your life. And anybody else's who looks to me, God is good. I've got an unshakable confidence that God is good tonight. I went through nervous exhaustion and wondered why, but God is good. He carried me. He literally lifted me up and carried me. I love Him tonight with everything that's in me, and I have an unshakable confidence in His goodness. He brought good out of what I went through. What I'm preaching now is because I know Him like I would have never known Him had I not went through what I went through. And I found out something profound. No matter what, God is good. Somebody give Him praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah. Let me close with this. You want to win some battles? Get a revelation of God and shout it in the face of the enemy. Oh, you didn't hear me. Something I can stand on besides an altar. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me tonight. I know we're a little church and you're all bone tired. We're about ready to get out of here. But I'm telling you something. God is good anyhow. Amen. 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 I'm older than anybody in here, but or any man in here but one. And there's a lady volunteering. I don't even go there. Can you say amen? Two ladies saying, ain't got me. Alice came real close to telling her age. Real close. No matter how old I get, David will be older than me. Hallelujah. And so will Alice and Ruth. Can you say amen? But inside, he's still young, and I believe that. Aches and pains and all. The youth is not in how your body functions at any given time. It's what's happening on the inside of you. Your youth can get renewed. Amen. Your body can't until Jesus comes. But your youth can. Your youth can. They that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Their strength. Their strength. Their inward strength can be renewed. Can you say amen? God wants to do that for his people tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is mounting up in him. You can shout that simple, profound, unshakable truth about God, if you ever get it in your heart, and win battles over overwhelming odds. Everybody say Jehoshaphat. An army came up that was innumerable. And there's no power and no might to go out against the army. And in Asa's case and Jehoshaphat's, real similar. Except for the way God chose to do it in Jehoshaphat's case. But the revelation has to be the same to have faith to overcome these innumerable odds. We have no power and we have no might to go out. That is a confession of faith in God. When you say, I don't have it, I can't get it together, I can't overcome, you're telling the absolute truth before God. And it's okay to say that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But who does he strengthen? To them that hath no might, he giveth strength. Can you say, man, it's that confession of no might that qualifies you for his strength. And when you overcome because of it, be sure and give him the glory. Because you just told him you didn't have enough of your own. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Amen. Make sure he gets the glory. We have no might or strength to go out against this great army, but our eyes are on you. Prophet stood up. Congregation. But thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not have to fight at all in this battle. The battle is not yours now from here on out. The battle is the Lord. Those people that minister for God 24/7, whose praises don't cease, who see it as a responsibility to give him praise day in, day out in the temple. Go get those people. Go get those people that don't just praise him when they feel good and cut it off when they feel bad. Go get those people who say, this is not about feelings and felt needs. This is about God and his glory. This is about giving him his due. Get those singers that sing in the temple before God every day, amen, and adore him and give praise to him. Go get those people. Bring them here now. You want victory over this enemy? Go get those people. Don't get those people that are emotionally governed by every wind that comes along. Get those people that stand up and give God the glory and the praise every single day in the temple. Go get those people. Can you say amen? Those people that minister in the temple so they know something about God. Can you say amen? Because they're not just going to sing any old song. They're going to sing a revelation of God. Amen? Are you ready for this? They're going to sing one verse over and over till three armies are dead. Anybody know what the verse is? Are you ready for the revelation? Are you ready for something really deep? Can you say, can you get your mind around this? Is the Holy Spirit, do you have enough of God for him to show you this tonight? You want something you can write down in the back of your Bible and say, look what I discovered. Are you ready for it? You want the real deep stuff? The Lord is good. And because he's good, his mercy endures forever. God stepped down from his heaven, put his foot on this planet, and and said, you're not touching my people, because what they're saying about me and what they're singing their praises for is the absolute truth about me, and you're going to find out there's a God in Israel.
Amen.
But go get the people, make it their business to praise him 24/7. People that go into that temple and give him his praise. And people that know he's good. No man. Well, why is all this evil befalling us? Amen. It's not because God's not good. It's because there's an enemy in this world. Amen. And who do you need when the enemy comes against you? You need a good God that you can turn to and trust in. I said turn to and trust in. Somebody stand up and give him the praise tonight. God is good. His mercy endures forever. The next time you hear that little prayer, God is great, God is good, you remember this sermon. The next time an enemy comes, I challenge you to stand up and say to the top of your lungs, the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. God wants to come to our rescue. God wants to show us his deliverances. We need to show him our faith on a level that is based on a knowledge that can't be shaken by the circumstances, the temporal circumstances of life. Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. But even before that, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a guy. And God turned the captivity of Job, because when his heart sweetened like that toward God, it sweetened toward his friends who had become his accusers and enemies, falsely. And he prayed for them that God would bless them and not curse them. And while he was praying that prayer out of a bountiful heart instead of a bitter heart, God did something for Job he'd love to do for some of you in here that need it desperately. Some of you need deliverance. You need some help, honey. You need to get free in the Lord again. You need to get your peace back and your joy back. You're telling other people God can do this. Well, he has to be able to do it for you, honey. This is not just a theological truth. This is something you have to personally experience to be convincing to this old world. We're the living epistles. They read us before they'll ever look at that book you carry. Hallelujah. So God wants to bring victory back to the camp. God turned the captivity of Job. God set him free from bitterness, and from fear, and from doubt. And God then began to prosper him again. Gave him double everything he lost. You've heard the patience of Job. He knew something about God. Through it all, God is a good God. And I'm going to bless his name. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. I don't know. I really wasn't there when he laid the foundation of the earth. But he's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. There's a holy presence here tonight to receive your worship. There's a holy person here tonight to receive your worship. Question is, do you believe God is good? Will you give him the worship that he deserves tonight? Not on your terms, when you feel like it, when you feel unction, when you feel... Will you give it to him because he deserves it tonight? What is God going to hear in the next 5 minutes from your mouth? Nothing? Are you going to exempt yourself? Do you feel like an exception? We can make exceptions. God's going to make an exception for you, because you've got great knowledge, or you've got great faith, or you've got everything you need. You don't need to get involved in corporate worship. Your voice is not important. Your lips, the calves of your lips, are nothing to God. He's not expecting to hear anything from you in the appointed time. See, that puts us on the spot. It should. God wants to hear every tongue in this room in praise before this day is over. Amen? And he wants me as a leader to lead it, no matter what's happening in my life. Honey, I've been coming down here for 34 years, January. There's never a Sunday that I didn't lift him up. Glory to God. Are you bragging on him? Because the only way I could do that is a whole lot of slack that he cut me. And now that I'm looking back on all that slack he cut me, I got more and more praise for him in my heart and mouth. No matter what happens from here on out, my God is good. And his mercy, Sister Venable, endures forever. And I'm going to shout it so he can hear it, and I'm going to shout it so the devil can hear it tonight. Let's give him some praise tonight. He's holy. He's in this room tonight to receive our worship. Challenge you to worship him, and I'm not going to be looking neither.